Good morning, JICF, and good morning to any guests and visitors that might be worshiping with us today. We're so glad that all of you are here. Well, last week, John was preaching from Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36, and then on into Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. And we saw from that text how the Pharisees were giving Jesus and his disciples a hard time. And they were trying to condemn Jesus, find fault with Jesus, because his disciples were not washing their hands before they ate their bread. And then, of course, Jesus comes right back. He exposes their hypocrisy. And in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 15, he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And this morning, church, we're going to be continuing here in this passage of Scripture in verses 10 through 20 of Matthew chapter 15. And the title that I've given for our sermon today is Pairing Our Heart with His. Pairing, meaning syncing our heart with God's heart, from Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20. And we're really going to be talking about this condition of our heart. Because as Jesus was saying here and quoting from Isaiah in verse 8 of Matthew 15, he was saying, but their heart, and particularly he was talking about the religious leaders of Israel, their heart, their inner being was far from God. Before we get into this text, let's ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We praise you for Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word, Lord. And we ask, O Holy Spirit, that right now you would come and open our hearts and our minds to understand the word of God, that it would penetrate our inner man. It would penetrate our hearts today, and it would change us, Lord, so that our hearts would be fully devoted to you, O God. Our hearts would be paired with yours, so that through our heart would flow good fruit. Out of our heart would flow good fruit that brings honor and glory to your name. Help your servant. Anoint him with your spirit. Use him according to your purposes and will for your glory alone, for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, let me read. I'm just going to read and walk through this text. I'm not going to read it all at once. I'm going to read some verses and then explain and as we go along. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, the 1995 edition. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, "After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand.'" Jesus says, "Hear and understand." He's trying to tell the crowd that what he's about to say is very important. And he tells us in verse 11, which is essential for them and for us to understand. In verse 11, Jesus says, "It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man." You see, the Pharisees were making such a big fuss because, as I mentioned previously, the disciples were not heeding to the tradition of the elders. They were not washing their hands before they ate their food. And they were then deeming the disciples as unclean, ceremonially unclean. But what Jesus says here, as he does so often, it's just the opposite of what the Pharisees think and believe and are teaching the people. He says, it's not what enters into our mouth that makes our heart polluted, that makes us unclean. That's not what defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth. That bears testimony about the condition of the heart. So if what is coming out of the mouth is evil, the behaviors flowing out of our heart, that bears witness that our heart is still polluted with sin. And that's what he wanted the people to hear and understand. You see, because just as God reminded Samuel, the prophet, when he went to Bethlehem to anoint Israel's second king, David, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. You see, the Pharisees, they were so concerned about the outward appearance. They were so concerned about what people thought of them because they wanted to receive man's praise. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says about the Pharisees, religious leaders of Israel, Matthew chapter 23, in verse 5, beginning in verse 5, it says, "But they," that's the religious leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, "but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men." You see, the sad, sad point here was that the Pharisees, their hearts did not beat for God. They did not love God. They did not want to please Him and honor Him and worship Him. They wanted the people to notice their outward works. They wanted people to praise them for their piety, for their being so religious, so that people would esteem them. And Jesus here is once again calling out their hypocrisy. And he says in verse 14 of our text, "Let them alone," or excuse me, verse 13, "But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted." And in verse 14 of our text, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." So what Jesus was teaching the people that had gathered around him, plus the disciples that were there, he's telling them, listen, these religious leaders of Israel, these Pharisees, they are not of my Father. And they will be uprooted. They will be uprooted. They will be moved aside. Their hypocrisy will be exposed. The true intentions and purposes and pursuits of their heart will be seen. And he says, let them alone. Don't worry about them. They are blind guides because their heart was still polluted with sin. They were spiritually blind. And as they were spiritually blind, the sad thing was, and I think what made Jesus so upset to the point where he would look over Jerusalem and cry and be weeping in tears was because they were leading the people astray. They were false shepherds and causing the people whom he loved to be led astray. And they were leading the people into a pit. And Jesus was saddened by that, but I think there was a holy anger because of that as well. That's why Jesus is fully love, but he is fully true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in love, he was proclaiming the truth of the kingdom here because he did not want people to be led astray. And Jesus' love and compassion and zealousness for truth, because he himself is true and the truth, he cares about us today, brothers and sisters, whoever is out there watching. He wants us to understand that that religion, that piety, that works, that outward appearance will not save us. But we must be focused on the condition of our hearts. Our hearts must be paired with his. Verse 15, Peter said to Jesus, "Explain the parable to us." Jesus says, are you still lacking in understanding also? Verse 17, Jesus says, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? He's highlighting his point. It's not what we take in. It's not because you don't wash your hands before you eat that makes you unclean, your heart unclean before God. But verse 18, Jesus says, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. Verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These, verse 20, are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. What is the heart that Jesus is talking about here? He mentions here in verse 18. The Greek word here is cardiologist, a heart surgeon. Heart doctor, heart. But Jesus is not talking about the organ in our body that pumps blood through our body, that circulates the blood in our physical bodies. But rather heart here, and often when the Bible talks about our heart, love the Lord your God with all your heart, it's talking about the very seat and center of the human. It's talking about the seat of our emotions. It's talking about the place where our intentions, purposes, desires, affections, and pursuits lie. It's the center of our value system, which then represents our character. Who we are and how we act and what we think when no one else is around. That's our heart. And Jesus says, it's what comes out of the heart. The behaviors that flow out of the heart, like he says here, the evil behaviors, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders in verse 19. That's what shine a spotlight on the heart, that the heart is still polluted with sin. The heart is still unclean and not worthy of entering into God's holy presence. That's Jesus' point. That's what defiles the man. Not eating food with unwashed hands. You see, the problem with the Pharisees was their hearts were paired with the world. What are the things of the world? One of the things? It's the praise of the world. It's the applause of man. It's seeking man's approval, man's renown. It's going after wealth and fortune and fame. It's going after I just want to be happy. Pleasures. Those are the things of the world. And the Bible says in James 4:4, when we pair our hearts with the world, the Bible says in James 4:4, says that we are adulteresses. It says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So when our hearts are paired with the world, when our pursuits and intentions, desires, affections are all focused on me, 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 and what I want, then we are hostile towards God. We're at enmity, and other translations say in James 4:4, towards God. And it goes on to say in James 4:4, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And oh, dear friends, how horrible, how frightening, how scary it is to be an enemy of God. Oh, dear friends, if our hearts are paired with the world, we are enemies of God. If our purposes are our own purposes, if our intentions are our own intentions, our affections and desires are our own desires, if our values are not what God's values are, then automatically what's going to flow out of us is what? Evil thoughts, murders. Because there's jealousy in our heart, there's anger and hatred in our heart, then the outpouring of that, the behavior of that is what? It's evil thoughts, it's murder. It's if lust is polluting and taking over our heart, what's the outward effect? It's adulteries and fornications, like Jesus says here. If covetousness is eating us away, we want so badly what other people have, what are we going to do? We'll rob and steal. There'll be thefts. If we are jealous with someone, if we are bitter towards someone, we're holding anger and hatred and jealousy and bitterness in our heart towards other people, what will we do? What will we do? We'll do just like what Jesus said. We'll bear false witness about them. We'll tell lies about them. We'll say things about them behind their back that are not true. We will slander them. We will gossip. And what does that do? It shines a spotlight on the pollution of our heart caused by sin. That's why, dear friends, we have to look and be focused on the condition of our heart. Our hearts must be paired with God's heart. I brought along today my Bluetooth speaker that I use quite often for worship through music. You know, this Bluetooth speaker, if I turn it on and don't pair it or sync it with a device, a music player like an iPhone or an iPad or a laptop, it's pretty much worthless. It doesn't do anything. And eventually, if it's not paired with a music player, another device, eventually it'll just turn off. It'll just turn off. You see, the purpose of the Bluetooth speaker is to be paired with a music player, and it then projects the sound coming from a music player. Yes, it makes the sound louder and oftentimes more pristine and nice to hear. But if it's not paired, it's really worthless. It has no function if it's not paired with a device. Dear friends, if our hearts are not paired with God's heart, then we are not fulfilling God's overarching grand purpose for our life. And you ask, well, Jonathan, what is that? God's overarching purpose for our life is to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever, as found in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And the scriptures to back that up, let me give you some. Isaiah 43 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Everyone who is called by my name," this is God speaking, "and whom I have created for my glory." We are created by God to reflect His glory. Psalm 16 and verse 11, talking about how we are to enjoy Him forever. The psalmist writes, "In your presence is fullness of joy." And then in Psalm 41 and verse 12, it says, "And you set me in your presence forever, and you set me in your presence forever." So that means if we compare that with verse 11 of Psalm 16, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and you set me in your presence forever," that means we are, as God's children, in His presence forever, doing what? Being full of joy. Joy in whom? Joy in God. Psalm 43, verse 4, the psalmist writes, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy." Our grand purpose, brothers and sisters, those of you watching today is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But let me tell you, if our hearts are not synced, our hearts are not paired with His heart, we will not be fulfilling our purpose. We'll be like this Bluetooth speaker that's not paired with a device, a music player. And when we're not fulfilling God's purpose for our life, I'm telling you, we will run around and we will pursue the things of the world, and it will leave us empty, empty, empty. That's why when we pair our hearts with God and we enter into His presence forever, there is fullness of joy. There is peace that surpasses all comprehension. There is a love like we've never known before. And we, our lives as this speaker, when it's paired to a device, will project the glory of God. We will reflect the glory of God, and that will bring us great joy. So now the question is, how do we pair our hearts with His? Because our hearts are more deceitful than all else and desperately sick, the Bible says. Our hearts are sinful. We're born with sinful hearts that need to be cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ. There has to be a first sinking or a first pairing of our heart to God's. And how do we do that? We have to realize, dear friends, that we are a sinner, that our sins have made a separation between us and our God, that we have grieved God's heart. We have grieved Holy God's heart with our sin. And there must be a mourning, a grieving, a brokenness over our sin, the polluted condition, unclean condition of our heart. And we must make a conscious decision with our mind to turn away from sin. That's called repentance. A conscious, mindful decision. I don't want to keep living in sin. I want to turn away, repentance, and turn to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I want to turn to Jesus, who about 2,000 years ago came to this earth, lived a perfect life, earned our righteousness with His perfect obedience to God's law, who earned our righteousness when He hung on that tree and shed His innocent blood. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In who? In Jesus. It's not our good works. It's not our going to church. It's not how often we pray or give money to the poor. We only receive God's righteousness is only transferred to us to clean us up so that God would see us as if we've never sinned is when we put our faith in Jesus, the one and only Savior. Amen? That's the only time. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we make a decision to follow Him, what happens? The blood of Jesus covers our sins. It changes our heart. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And our polluted heart is now cleansed before a holy God. Because when God looks at us, He sees the blood of His precious Son. And we're able to enter in the holy presence of Almighty God. And that is the first step of how we pair our hearts with His. And guess what happens when we do that? Our emotions, our intentions, our purposes, our desires, our affections, our pursuits, our values become God's values, God's purposes, God's pursuits, God's intentions for your life and mine. Oh, dear friend, I want to ask you right now to check your intentions. Check the intentions of your heart. Check the purposes of your heart. Check the pursuits of your heart. Check the will of your heart. Are they God-inspired intentions? God-inspired purposes to bring Him glory through your life, to project and reflect His glory in and through your life? If not, I beckon you today. You turn from your sin and you call on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He will cleanse your heart. He will make you a new creation in Himself. And then what will start happening is, because He's cleansed our heart, the actions, the words that come out of our mouth, the actions that flow out of our life, because now His Spirit lives in us, His Spirit is producing fruit in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, will begin to flow out of our life, and we will reflect our King to the glory of God, and to be a blessing to others, and to help them help introduce them to our Jesus. You got to make that initial pairing. But dear friends, I'd like to speak to us now that are in Christ Jesus. We have made that initial pairing of our heart with God's. We have surrendered ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We have become a follower of Jesus through repentance and faith in Him, through His finished work on the cross and His glorious resurrection from the grave, which we have recently celebrated. But friends, don't think that it's a one and only pairing. Oh, dear friends, it's a daily pairing our life, our heart with God's. It's a daily seeking to connect. Sometimes with my Bluetooth speaker, it'll be on, my device will be on, and sometimes even my device, I'll have my Bluetooth on my device, and it will recognize this speaker, and the name of this speaker will actually pop up on my device. This happens often on my laptop, on my MacBook. It will recognize the Bluetooth speaker. It'll even say it's connected, but still the sound is coming out of my laptop and not being projected from the Bluetooth speaker. So what do I have to do? I have to push this button on the Bluetooth speaker that's really a repairing button. It's like a refresh button. And I push that button, it refreshes, it then repairs again with my device, particularly my laptop, and then the sound begins to come out and be projected through the Bluetooth speaker. Friends, every morning when we get up, we need to hit the refresh repairing button on our heart. Say, I want to wake up and I want to hit refresh and repair. I want to sync my heart with yours, God. I want to be about your purposes for my life today, not my own. I want to be pursuing your pursuits, not my own. I want your intentions, not my own. I want to value what you value today and not my own. How do we do that? How do we do that? I want to share with you quickly three things that we need to do. Worship, word, and prayer. Worship, word, and prayer. Here at JICF, before the preaching of the word, we have a time of worship through music and song, right? What is the purpose of that? The purpose is to prepare our hearts to receive the word, our spiritual food. It's to prepare our hearts. It's to help get our minds focused on the Lord. It's to help us come into His presence as we lift up our offerings of praise to our God. And it's important in our own personal devotional times to help us repair our heart with God's every morning, as that we have time of personal worship in our respective homes. For me, I like to put on Christian music. And I sing along and I worship with my heart. And that helps prepare me to then do the second part, to get into God's Word so that He can speak to me, so that I make sure that my thoughts are in line with His thoughts. Let me ask you a question. If you only ate food on Sunday, but you didn't eat food Monday through Saturday, how would your health be? Wouldn't be too good, would it? You would surely be malnourished physically because you're only eating on Sunday. Let me ask you a second question. What happens if you only feast on God's Word when you listen to the sermon here at JICF on Sunday? It's the same thing. Malnourishment. Spiritual malnourishment. Friends, we cannot ever think if we only listen to God's Word on Sunday that that's going to be enough spiritual food to help our hearts be in sync and paired with God's so that we are fulfilling our purpose to reflect His glory if it's just once a week. Oh, dear friends, daily we have to be in God's Word. We have to be reading and studying and meditating upon God's Word daily because God's Word is our spiritual food. It nourishes our heart so that our intentions, purposes, desires, and affections are God's intentions, purposes, and desires, and affections. In Psalm 1:1, I want to talk quickly about the discipline of meditating upon God's Word. We probably often hear that. I need to meditate upon God's Word. Well, what does that mean? Okay, how do I do that? All right. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist writes, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." So how, from this text, how is good fruit being birthed and coming out of a person's life? It's when he or she does what? Delights in the law of the Lord and meditates upon it day and night. What does that word meditate mean? In the original language, in the Hebrew, it's haga. And that word haga means to utter, to speak, to literally speak out. And so, friends, I would encourage you, if you don't have some sort of the Bible plan, Bible reading plan, you have one. For me right now, I'm reading Jeremiah in the Old Testament. I'm reading Acts in the New Testament. Let me just show you how I meditated upon the word I was reading from Jeremiah chapter 10 just this week. So in this week, in my morning devotional time, I was at Jeremiah chapter 10. I was at Jeremiah chapter 10. So I'm reading along, and of course, before I read, I'm praying, you know, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, open my heart and my mind to for that word that you have for me today from your word, that rhema. What is that rhema for me that you want me to take away, that perhaps it's a reminder for me, it's a warning for me, an encouragement, it brings conviction to my heart, what I need to obey, whatever. It's that special word from God's word for me. So I asked the Holy Spirit to show me that. So I'm reading through Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm reading along. I'm praying as I read. And then I get to verses 23 and 24 of Jeremiah chapter 10. "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with your anger, or you will bring me to nothing." Oh, dear friends, when I read that, I knew that was God's word for me. And I began to haga, meditate on that. How do I do that? I began to speak verses 23 and 24 of Jeremiah 10 out loud. I speak it out loud, slowly, I was using the New Living Translation, and the New Living Translation of those verses says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. And when I would repeat that, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own, I would repeat it over and over again out loud. And then God brought conviction to my heart. Jonathan, are you fully surrendered to me? Are you still holding some things back? And that became, you know, for me, that personal revelation, that became for me a prayer point. I needed to confess my sin. I need to ask for God forgiveness because there's still some things that I'm holding on to. We are not able to plan our own course. And as I said that over out loud, meditating upon that, I realized, oh God, show me, am I planning my own course right now? If I've gotten off, veered from your course and plan for the life of me and my family, Lord, as it says in verse 24, correct me, but please do it gently. Please do it gently, because if it's not, I'll die. And so that then catapulted me into the third part of how we stay paired with God every day. Prayer. Worship, word, prayer. Through our meditation on God's word, dear friends, it will lead us into how God wants us to pray. And we pray on the word. And if we're praying the word of God, oh, let me tell you, we can be certain we're praying the will of God. You see how that works? And I'm praying, and possibly the Holy Spirit brings me other names to pray for. Maybe this thing too. He'll bring a person's name, a friend of mine, a family member, and I'll pray for them. Oh, Lord, make sure they're on your path. They're not planning their own course. Lord, correct them if they're not, but do it gently. You see how that works? And then God will bring other things for me to pray about. But through worship and word and prayer, that helps us stay synced, our heart, with God's heart, dear friends. And it is so important. And when we do that, when our hearts are in line with His heart, okay, what happens? Naturally, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, like what Paul was talking about in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, it will organically flow out of our life. The speech and the behaviors of our life are coming out and resonating from our heart that's been made clean, that's paired up and synced with God's. And love comes out. When we talk with our family, our spouses, and our children, there's love. You know, we're showing love. We're reaching out to people. We're checking on people, seeing how they're doing. We're asking people, friends that we know, and relatives, how can I be praying for you right now? There's love that flows out of our heart. God's love flowing out of our heart. Joy, the second fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not some false happiness mask that we're put on, but there's true contentment and satisfaction in our life because we're satisfied in God. There's joy. It's genuine. There's peace. There's a calmness about us. Even though we might be going through some challenging times, we're resting in God's shalom, and people see that. There's patience. We're patient when we talk with our spouses, with our children, with our employees. It's an overflow. It's not something we have to be, oh, I got to be patient today. I got to be peace. I got to have peace today. I got to have joy today. No, it's just swelling over out of our heart. It's natural and organic. There's kindness. It's not like, oh, I've got to do 10 acts of kindness today and we've got our checklist. No, it's just you want to be kind to people because you realize how kind God has been to you to send His Son and die in your place on the cross. Goodness. We want to do good. We want God's goodness to flow through us to be a blessing for others. Faithfulness. You know, we're faithful. We're faithful to our spouses. We're faithful in our roles that God has given to us, in our callings. We're faithful. We're gentle. We're not trying to push our own ways, but we're resting in the sovereign goodness of God. We're not trying to make our own way and push our own way. We're gentle, and then we have self-control. When temptation comes, self-control rises up, and we're able, as James tells us to do, to resist the devil, and he flees from us. Do you see how that works, church? Oh, it's so wonderful. so beautiful. But the key is our heart must be synced with God's. Oh, dear friend, is your heart synced with God's today? If it's not, if you've never made that initial pairing, that initial sinking, do it today. Don't wait another moment. God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. He's waiting on you with open arms if you would just merely make a conscious decision of your mind to turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you will surely be called a child of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. You do that today. You don't wait. Yeah. Don't pair your heart with the world anymore. That brings destruction, pain and suffering, discontentment. Pair it with God's heart. And for the rest of us, let's make sure that daily we're pairing our hearts with God. Even though we're children of God, we're in Christ Jesus. But daily, all of us, we're taking time to get alone with God in worship, in word, and in prayer. And if there's sin in your life right now, you're a child of God, but there's some sin that you're holding on to, you forsake it in the name of Jesus. You make a break from it. You repent in the name of Jesus. You ask God to refine your heart again. Refine your heart. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. You do that, and you get disciplined again about pursuing God, making sure your heart is paired with his, so that, dear friends, all of us are fulfilling God's purpose for our life, to glorify him, to enjoy him forever, to reflect our Lord and King, wonderful Jesus, to be a blessing to others, to be promoting his peace in our homes, in the marketplace, wherever we are, for his glory, for his renown, for his fame. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's living, that it's active, that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. And I pray that your word has penetrated our inner being, penetrated our hearts today, Lord. And you've changed our hearts today through the power of your word and the power of your spirit. Oh, Lord, help our hearts be paired with yours. Help our hearts be paired with yours so we can fulfill our purpose. We can fulfill what you've called us to be about, which is your glory and the enjoyment of you. Most holy, most wonderful, Almighty God. Thank you so much, Lord. Bless every listener. And now that your word has ceased from being preached from your servant, Holy Spirit, you do the work. You do the work. You do the work. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.